Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with your host, executive editor of Newsbusters, Tim Graham.
Hello, and come along for the ride as we clink our glasses for a little win, a little W. When the liberals put on their cranky faces and complain about all that bad faith right-wing messaging, hey, we must have won something. Yes, this morning we found out the Washington Post reports unhappily that ding dong, the DGB is dead. Or maybe just paused. Put into a cryogenic freeze. The common joke, it lasted about as long as CNN Plus. Anyway, the headline of the Washington Post was, well, it was very tilted, how the Biden administration let right-wing attacks derail its disinformation efforts. Subhead, a pause of the Department of Homeland Security's newly created board comes after its head, Nina Jankowicz, was the victim of coordinated online attacks as the administration struggled to respond. I always find this kind of amusing, that basically the implication of all of this is, you know, here we have this dominant liberal media that dominates ABC, CBS, NBC, PBS, NPR, MSNBC, CNN, you know, New York Times, Washington Post, you know, they have control over all the big levers, and they are still like, oh, the administration struggled to message. Poor dears. Yes. And of course, who did the Department of Homeland Security select to break this important story of the pause? Why, let's go get the TikTok chick, Taylor Lorenz. Yes, you can see this coming when you're going to talk about how a poor 33-year-old woman was the victim of coordinated online attacks. Yes, Taylor Lorenz complained / reported. Within hours of news of her appointment, Jankowicz was thrust into the spotlight by the very forces she dedicated her career to combating. Now, to me, that sentence says a lot. See, Jankowicz is here to combat the right-wingers. So what they're saying again was the role of this board was not merely to combat misinformation in general. It was to combat the conservatives. That's why conservatives said it was the Ministry of Truth. Lorenz continues, the board itself and DHS received criticism for both its somewhat ominous name and scant details of specific mission. Yes, Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas said, they could have done a better job communicating what it is and what it isn't. Well, you know how that starts? Don't pick a wacko to lead it. Oh, but Lorenz complains, Jankowicz was on the receiving end of the harshest attacks, with her role mischaracterized as she became a primary target on the right-wing internet. Yes, somehow it was a terrible thing that we were all circulating her attempts at musical theater. I kind of found them musically well done, creepy, but not badly sung. But, you know, the right wingers are circulating criticism, democracy's dying in darkness. We all know this is the way the Washington Post operates. Jankowicz has been subject to an unrelenting barrage of harassment and abuse. Yes, that's called criticism and satire and mockery. What do you think the Washington Post did with Donald Trump? I think it was an unrelenting barrage of harassment and abuse. Mischaracterized as democracy dying in darkness. So, yes, so they announced this is being paused because poor Nina Jankowicz has been attacked on the internet. You can clearly tell here that Taylor Lorenz sees in Nina Jankowicz a younger version of Taylor Lorenz. she wrote, Jankiewicz's experience is a prime example of how the right-wing internet apparatus operates, where far-right influencers attempt to identify a target, present a narrative, and then repeat mischaracterizations across social media and websites with the aim of discrediting and attacking anyone who seeks to challenge them. Here again, doesn't this sound like the liberal media? They present a narrative, they identify a target, they present a narrative, and then repeat mischaracterizations. Yeah, that's pretty much what we would say. That's kind of the way they've done it to the conservatives and the Republicans and the Trumpers. Loren said it also shows what happens when institutions, when confronted with these attacks, don't respond effectively. Oh, yes. See, when things go badly, you basically say the DHS mucked this up. Okay. We're not going to try to argue for the Biden administration's competence, but it is really is kind of funny. You know, all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put Biden back together again. I mean, I guess, you know, that's sort of where we are right now in politics. The guy's approval rating's under 40%. And the media kind of wants to say, well, their messaging, they have problems with their messaging. Well, maybe they have problems with what they've done to the country. And then we go to the anonymous sources. Those familiar with the board's inner workings, including DHS employees and Capitol Hill staffers, along with experts on disinformation, say Jankiewicz was set up to fail by an administration that was unsure of its messaging and unprepared to counteract a coordinated online campaign against her. See, you just, gosh, she's got a big violin out for Nina Jankiewicz. So, of course, yes, Nina Jankiewicz goes on Twitter and tells everyone that she's now going to run this disinformation governance board. And Lorenz is upset. By the end of the day, there were at least 53,235 posts on Twitter mentioning disinformation governance board, many referencing Jankiewicz by name. Oh, well, who's the source on this? According to a report by Advanced Democracy, which she describes as a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization that conducts public interest research. I'm sorry. You could also say that the Media Research Center is technically a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that conducts research in the public interest. But we know when the Washington Post uses this, they're saying liberal Democrat group. The nonpartisan, nonprofit organizations are the experts that the Democrats prefer. But in real life, this group was founded by a man named Daniel Jones. Not the New York Giants quarterback Daniel Jones. This is a different Daniel Jones. Pretty common name. Kind of like Tim Graham. There's going to be more than one. Daniel Jones worked as a Senate Intelligence Committee aide to Democrat Senator Dianne Feinstein before everybody started questioning her ability to think. The Daily Caller, Chuck Ross, reported Jones first had a group called the Democracy Integrity Project, or TDIP, which partnered with Fusion GPS and their pal Christopher Steele to try to sell the Trump-Russia collusion narrative. Oh, what was that they were doing? They were identifying a target, presenting a narrative, and then repeating mischaracterizations. Yes, that Taylor, that's what the collusion hoax was. Anyway, Jones told the FBI that the organization's goal was to provide information to the media, to lawmakers, and the FBI that they were a quote-unquote shadow media organization with the U.S. government. So he's saying a shadow media organization inside the U.S. government, in other words, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that sort of acts like a disinformation governance board. Unofficially. See, obviously there was sort of a secret DGB inside the intelligence community. That's who was driving this whole narrative, this whole Russian collusion, Fusion GPS, liberal media compared with Democrats inside the government sort of complex. And of course, the story also had to include the spin directly from the White House. Yes, Deputy White House Press Secretary Andrew Bates merely repeated Taylor Lorenz's words back to her. These smears leveled by bad faith right-wing actors against a deeply qualified expert and against efforts to better combat human smuggling and domestic terrorism are disgusting. Let's remember what Bill Maher had to say the other day, and that was they originally tried to say that the mission of this disinformation board was about Russian disinformation. Okay. It was about counteracting smugglers and traffickers. Okay. And then they said, but not limited to that. Yeah. We've got other misinformers to attack, like Tucker Carlson. So, I mean, I think the liberals now all can realize that this was a terrible idea. CNN's own Brian Stelter retweeted a guy from BuzzFeed named Joe Bernstein. I think this is the liberal position now. Quote, two things can be true. Something can be subject to a loathsome bad faith right-wing messaging operation and still be a horribly misconceived and underthought fiasco. Yes. We had a terrible idea, and it was mischaracterized by the bad faith right-wingers. Now, what makes this interesting, actually, is Joe Bernstein tweets this. Who replies underneath but Taylor Lorenz? She says, yup, a disaster on all fronts. Thinking especially of the PPL on the Hill I talked to, who work in this area and had to learn ABT, this whole board, from a political newsletter blurb. And some people were like, well, why wasn't this in your story? Well, it sort of is in the story. It's implied. See, reporters have this tendency. They imply that the DHS was incompetent by saying, you know, they were unprepared to counteract a coordinated online campaign by the right wingers. And what that means is, yeah, it was a fiasco. You know, Democrats talk to other Democrats, government Democrats talk to media Democrats, and behind the scenes, on background, they all share their horror at how badly this went. But when it comes out to reporting a story, it's, oh, the bad faith right-wingers, look what they did now. Well, before this whole thing broke, we did have some other interesting little pieces yesterday on MSNBC. That underlined this disgust that the right-wingers would take after the Department of Homeland Security on the disinformation board. Chuck Todd was talking to Garrett Hake, the hack. Chuck Todd's a hack. They were there to discuss, well, they call the show MTP Daily. We like to call it DNC Daily, but of course, it's MSDNC. I mean, everything they're doing over there is coordinating the Democrat talking points. And, of course, Chuck Todd was going to use the word weaponize. You know, this talk about an overused hack word. I mean, weaponize. You know, for people who hate guns and want to take guns out of the hands of law-abiding citizens, why are they always weaponizing? You know, the fact of the matter is, again, this is one of those funny words they use to describe that the conservatives have weaponized something. They don't see their own liberal media bias. We're not weaponizing. We're informing you. We're holding the government accountable. We're not weaponizing anything. And when the Republicans want to show you the Hunter Biden laptop, they're weaponizing. Anyway, this was I'll give you a piece of the dialogue of the Todd Hake show.
Well, Garrett, look at the way the right tried to weaponize the idea that the DHS was going to essentially try and attempt to monitor hateful rhetoric, right? They want to make it seem as if it's some sort of big brother. And it's like, this is always what the right does to appease the white supremacist movement by saying, hey, free speech. Don't touch speech.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that Chuck Todd would say, oh, the right wing's appeasing the white supremacists by saying, hey, free speech, don't touch the speech. Well, yes, we have MSNBC hacks who, one, try to say that conservatives who are not racists, who don't believe the whites are the master race, are going to be smeared in with them. And we want to use our free speech to say, hey, Chuck Todd, stop that. Stop with the whole smeary that all the conservatives are white supremacists. Or they're appeasing the white supremacists. Well, you're appeasing the black supremacists. You're appeasing the Black Lives Matter. You don't care what on earth they do with their money, with all the millions of ill-gotten gains from scared woke corporations. We won't be doing that show today on MTP Daily because we're a bunch of hacks. Todd then continued on this whole notion of the Republicans being white supremacists that basically can be attached to the Buffalo supermarket shooting. Well, this is sort of the chickens coming home to roost. They've been appeasing this wing of the parties for years and years and years, and now they are stuck with this group. Yeah, that's what they're hoping. This is their whole line. We're going to do clumsy dot to dot and say, oh, if you're a Republican of any kind, we're going to attach you to the supermarket shooter. We're going to attach you to white supremacists. It doesn't matter that the supermarket shooter is a kooky guy that thinks Rupert Murdoch is a Jew and doesn't really like Fox News. That doesn't matter. We're going to attach him to Tucker Carlson anyway. That's what we do here. But you have to also kind of laugh that Chuck Todd has to use the chickens coming home to roost, which is what, of course, Obama's minister Jeremiah Wright had to say about America in 9/11. We had it coming. We deserved it. We were too pro-Israel. This was the Jeremiah Wright point of view. These are all Chuck Todd and all the people who are campaigning about the anti-Semitic shooter and how I can attach that to the conservatives. Hey, Chuck Todd, you ever check out Jeremiah Wright and his ties to Louis Farrakhan? Who's anti-Semitic? Why don't you sit next to Al Sharpton like you did on Meet the Press set and somehow pretend Al Sharpton hasn't said a pile of anti-Semitic things? Unbelievable. Now, that little conversation between Chuck and Garrett, well, that was kind of low-key compared to what happened on the Nicole Wallace show, where we ask ourselves the eternal question, what on earth happened to Carl Cameron? Fox News picked Carl Cameron out of a lineup in New Hampshire. The guy was doing campaign reporting in New Hampshire, glommed right onto Fox News, and became, you know, a Fox News enthusiast, an enthusiastic Fox News reporter who tap danced on the Fox News line. And then the minute he leaves, suddenly he's on the MSNBC line. Amazing. How does that happen? Maybe we could say he never had any convictions to begin with. That's my guess. He's like the Miles Taylor inside Fox News. So this was the amazing part. Carl Cameron actually sort of implies that there should be journalists in jail. Now, where is Brian Stelter? Can you imagine if one of us had said that we needed to put journalists in jail under Trump? Where is Stelter and Darcy? Absent without leave once again. Let's take a listen.
Carl Cameron, I want to start with you. And I want to ask you, what goes on? I mean, obviously, a mass shooter is responsible for the violence and the heinous acts that the mass shooter committed. It is also true that the ideology left in the mass shooter's screed mirrors the ideology championed by Tucker Carlson. What happens at Fox News when something like this happens?
I can't even imagine. It's partly why I ended up getting out of there. It really is kind of horrible to think that journalists with national and international capacity are putting together this type of nonsense. I think the president did a great job. I wish he had done a lot of this a lot sooner, and we need a lot more from the left and the middle. And we got to watch out because the Republicans have become the purveyors of misinformation. And when our two-party system is broken like that, democracy is seriously in trouble. The president acknowledged that. It's time to actually start doing things and maybe taking some names and putting people in jail.
So apparently, yeah, Fox News and the rest of us conservatives are the enemies of the people. We never liked that term, enemies of the people, to describe the liberal media. We would say they were the enemies of the conservative people. This we knew. This we knew over a long period of time, 35 years or so at the Media Research Center, that the liberal media basically see themselves as the enemies of the conservative people, and their job is to beat the conservative people, to defeat them, to disgrace them, to make them, to drag them out of polite society. I mean, once again, we had liberal media people who had more favorable things about to say about Fidel Castro, about Hugo Chavez, about Mikhail Gorbachev, the communist pope and the Soviet Martin Luther, Gus Hall, the head of the Communist Party of the United States. He makes a great stew. It's the apples. I'm not kidding. These are things that are buried in our old notable quotables files. I'm just saying. They have more favorable words to say about communists than they do about conservatives. Just a, it's a true fact. But, you know, just the whole idea that they, somehow there needs to be people in jail. The purveyors of misinformation need to be put in jail. I'm not going to listen to any of you people talk about democracy dying in darkness when you're running around the Nicole Wallace show saying junk like this. And then the whole notion that Nicole Wallace is unloading this crap. Tucker Carlson mirrors the ideology of the murderer. This is, frankly, dead false. It's like Nicole Wallace never read this thing. I mean, you can't barely find it on the internet. But even if you could, who wants to elevate some mentally ill mass murderer to the punditocracy? It's the same thing with the Unabomber. They made a big deal out of this, if you don't remember this, back in the 90s. And the New York Times printed. They printed the entire Unabomber manifesto for the world to see. They didn't hide it like they're hiding this goofball murderer's manifesto. Mentally ill people should not be honored like they're deep thinkers. They're deeply disturbed individuals. And in both of those cases, they should have been summarily executed as quickly as possible. The guy live streamed the mass murder. There's no doubt about whether he's guilty or not. The way you discourage something like this is to make sure the 18-year-old shooter doesn't make it to 19. That might discourage this kind of mass shooting. But the idea that the shooter mirrors the ideology of Tucker Carlson, or just mirrors the ideology of conservatives in general, is just a pants-on-fire lie. But you know the fact-checkers, the people that do this, they really don't fact-check the Nicole Wallaces and the Carl Camerons when they say unloaded junk like this. I mean, they get upset if you call John Ossoff a socialist. Now, or if you call Fetterman, this guy in Pennsylvania, is a socialist. I mean, Bernie Sanders identifies himself as a socialist. And that's, of course, the way the media will describe him. Bernie Sanders, who describes himself as a socialist, a democratic socialist. And that's them saying, don't blame us. He actually calls himself that. You can't call them a socialist, but they can call you a you mirror the ideology of a racist mass murderer. No fact check. We're tired of it, people. So it's nice when you get just exhausted from this sort of smear that's been going on for years and years and years. Don't get me started talking about the Oklahoma City bombing. That was a long time ago, but the same pattern continues. So it's nice from time to time that we get a little win and that the people who claim they're against misinformation take it on the chin. They get the L. We'll take it. We'll take it this one time and hope that the pause isn't just a pause. What's never ending is the Newsbusters. Tick tock, tick tock. We're going to get you. We're going to transcribe you when you say nonsense. Come get it once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for listening to me.